Chief Analyst and Founder of the Collab Collective, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Decision Point. Now, this is not your typical webcast with PowerPoints and marketing fluff. This is where we try and ask the questions that IT administrators and IT decision makers have on top of mind as they're trying to make decisions about their deployment of technology in their ecosystem. Now, we're not going to be talking specifically to one vendor about one product and solution, but in fact, what we have today is something special. We have a panel of experts, analysts in the fields of unified communication, customer contact center as a service, and we're going to be talking about a recent event that we went to. Recently, we had a chance to go to Venice, Italy, hosted by a company known as WildX. Now, WildX might be that one unified communication platform that you never heard of, but we thought they were noteworthy enough that we wanted to talk about it. What do you want to know about them? Well, let's say, for example, they're the only European vendor that made the Gartner Magic Quadrant for UCaaS vendors. They also had this really incredible ARR of about 45% in the last year or two, especially in the North American market where they're just beginning to kind of develop. And they have some really interesting vertical offerings as well, too. But instead of me going on and on about it, why don't I introduce our panelists and we will go ahead and get their opinions about it. So I'm going to go round robin. John Arnold, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself first and tell us about yourself.
Great. Thank you, Craig. Yes, I think this is the first time I've been on anything of yours. We're all a very collegial bunch, folks, for all the viewers out there. We're all independents. We all march to our own beat. And to be together on one call, you're getting more than a twofer. You're getting a four for one here. So this is pretty good. So, yes, I've been an independent analyst for 20-ish years now. I think Blair and I have lapped most of the field on this one, with maybe a few exceptions like Sheila, but we've been doing this a long time, so we've seen the trends come and go in this market. So I'm, as I say, independent. I'm based in Toronto. My company is called J. Arnold & Associates, and UCaaS has become a core focus, but for a lot of us, it's kind of become part of a bigger story, mostly around CX and contact center and even CPaaS, all the cloud communications platforms. That's really where we mostly play. And before I just hand it off, I just want to say, you mentioned, Craig, them being in that UCaaS Magic Quadrant for Gartner. In this day and age, it's kind of unusual to be talking about a company that is primarily focused on UCaaS. That market has become very saturated, as we all know. So it's a little unusual, but they're focused on it for the right reasons, and we'll explore that in the next few minutes. So
I think it's great. Now let's go ahead and introduce someone else. You already mentioned Blair Pleasant with Blair. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us more about your company?
Yeah. So, Blair Pleasant, independent analyst. My company is Comfusion. And as John forgot to mention, we're both part of bcstrategies.com. So be sure to visit bcstrategies.com. And, so I've been an independent analyst forever, covering unified communications, collaboration, contact centers, CX, basically everything that falls under business communications. Seen a lot of trends come and go. And now it's all about AI, AI, AI. And, unified communications or UCaaS was, you know, really hot for a while. And then it seemed like things kind of settled down for a bit. And now everything's, or not everything, but more of the focus is on contact center and CX. You know, everything is focused on CX. And one thing we'll be talking about with, WildX is that even though they don't tout their contact center product, they do have contact center Lite, which a lot of us, you know, wanted them to be a little more forceful about because they do have a good product. So that's something we'll be talking about shortly.
I think so. Hey, it's important to call out that this is a co-production with BC Strategies. It's a great organization of independent analysts that actually put some really great content out. So we'll be sure to make sure that we cross promote everything. But we are all three US-based analysts. We got a special guest all the way
John's Toronto.
Oh, I'm sorry, Toronto, I'm sorry, North America-based.
North America.
Let me correct that. North America-based, but we have a special guest all the way across the pond from the United Kingdom, Chris Marin. Chris, why don't you introduce yourself?
Absolutely, and thank you very much. So my name is Chris Merritt. I recently launched myself as a fully independent analyst. I run a company called CMA Intelligence. Prior to that, I've been an analyst. Well, I started an analyst almost a decade ago, so I'm not quite as tenured as the rest of the call, but I've got a little bit of a background there to lean on as well. And yeah, I do. So my original background was contact center. That was my core focus, and I've kind of expanded out from there to be all things communications and customer service. And I do very much see that convergence. I think the contact center light that you're referring to, Blair, is absolutely a thing. WildX have some very solid capabilities, but they also lean into workflow, and it's become a very trendy term recently, but it's actually one that WildX have a good claim to, in that the first time they mentioned workflow was in a blog in Italian in November of 2013. And they've been talking about it as communications-enabled business processes initially, and then they started talking about it in English in 2015. So they've been in that workflow piece for quite some time. So, yes, it's a contact center light, but it's a workflow process tool as well as a contact center tool, and I think that's an important distinction to add in.
Hey, Chris, let's go ahead and level set. So being in the EMEA market, you might know WildX a little bit longer than maybe the typical North American analyst or even vendor. Tell us about what you – WildX, who they are from your point of view, and what you see them doing here in this last year or two, and how they've been reaching out to other analysts like us to help that effort.
Absolutely. So WildX are an entirely partner-led UCaaS provider. They – nominally focus purely on unified communications, and I'm saying nominally because they do have that customer service workflow piece to the portfolio, but they are very specific and focused in what they do, and they only sell through partners. They originated in Italy, and they've kind of grown from Italy to have a worldwide network of partners, not only across Europe, but also into the US, into Central and Latin America, and into EMEA and APAC as well.
And one of their core focus is SMB, and that I think is one of their distinguishing factors that they want to make sure they wear very proudly. They say they serve the other 90% of the businesses along the way. Is that true, John? Is that how you see them, mostly as an SMB-focused solution?
Always. I know, Blair, both of us go back quite a ways with them before they got on the radar for most everybody else, and they've always had that focus. And one thing about them that I really like is the fact that they themselves are a small company. They are probably the ideal customer that they would have for themselves. You know, they run it very much as a family business. It's two brothers, Steve and Dimitri. And, you know, flying under the radar in Italy where no one's paying any attention to them outside of Italy, they've kind of been able to do everything, make their mistakes, fine-tune their approaches. And I've certainly seen this from tracking earlier partner events of theirs where their messaging was pretty, you know, not as refined as it is now. And so they've come a long way. And also they run it like a small business, right? They work remotely. They put a lot of trust in their culture and their employees to kind of pull along, just do the work, not worry about where you are. And that's exactly what their customers are like. And also, this is not the most, like, sophisticated, leading-edge technology, and it doesn't have to be. It's plenty good enough for what SMBs do. So they really understand that, you know, the needs of an SMB and, of course, the needs of the channel who have to sell it to these guys and support it properly. So they're living it, which is what I think makes it a very authentic-feeling offering. And the messaging coming from them. The new stuff we're all getting a handle on is how do we engage between analysts and this organization? Because we're new to each other largely, and I'm sure they were wondering how much to share with us. We didn't get a lot of NDA, no, don't share this, don't share that kind of thing. So they're learning how to engage with us, and we're learning how to kind of like speak their language, right?
Yeah.
And John, to your point, oops, sorry. So they talk about drinking their own Prosecco, you know, because they're Italian, so Prosecco. But they really do, you know, use their own technology, and they try things out first. And they learn along the way, but their culture is really, really important in that, you know, everybody we met came from a different region or a different country, and they're all very collaborative. You know, the camaraderie was amazing. So they really do use their technology and, you know, talk the talk, walk the walk, and all that. One thing I wanted to add on top of the SMB is that they've also got these really impressive, they call it vertical, but they're really more horizontal capabilities and offerings. So they've got XBs, which is designed for sales and service teams. And that's kind of where some of the contact center light or call center light stuff comes in, because it's got digital channels and some of the workflow things and queues and dashboards and NVR, IVR. But it's really designed for those sales and service teams. But then they also have something called X-Hoppers, which is aimed at retail and frontline workers. And what's really impressive about X-Hoppers is that it ties in with hardware that WildX provides. So they've got their own headsets and, you know, push-to-talk capabilities. So a frontline worker at a store can communicate with other people, you know, people in the inventory, you know, in the back shelf to see what's there and pull out a size. They use it for theft control and for giving them guidance. So if a customer has a question, they can do a push to talk and get the information that they need, and bringing in AI to help them get the information and the guidance. So even though they're small, they've got these really impressive specific vertical capabilities that they're really leaning into also.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I also like is that they leaned into this idea of the European roots. And I was talking to Jason, like, well, what does that mean? Jason Usselman is their chief commercial officer. I think I had that right. Yeah. And he said, you know, in Europe, not only do we have, for example, we need to understand data sovereignty. We have to understand regulatory environments as well, too. We really need to understand the nuances of that environment that we're selling into. And part of what they said was a combination of those two previous items, the SMB approach and the partner-led motion that allow them to really customize their interactions with their customers to be appropriate for that region. So I thought that was a pretty powerful way they were differentiating from it. Channel-led, SMB, and kind of really understanding the nuances of those markets as they're going into it. I mean, that was impressive to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought too, by the way, sorry, Blair, that they didn't talk really that much about technology, right? Their messaging for us was really more, and they said it over and over correctly, on business outcomes. And again, they speak the language of the SMB, who generally aren't the most sophisticated tech users. They know what their limitations are. And I think they're rightly, you know, they could have made every topic about AI, but they didn't. You know, they really got into what the challenges are of the businesses, and with the robo reception example for the health care clinic thing, whatever. I thought that was another great example of how they identified a problem set and they translated it into business impact. Right? They talk about, you know, the cost of all these missed calls and appointments, and if you're running a clinic, you know, that's revenue for you. So they're tying it. They talked very early on. It might have been Emiliano about this, talking about ROI, right? That's what they lead with, ROI of the solution, not this wonderful technology is going to do all these wonderful things. And also, just lastly, Blair, you mentioned about the hardware with the headsets, but they also make their own phones. I mean, I think it's a really cool story, again, which is very channel friendly, because they love to sell hardware. That's money in the bank for them. So, again, I think everything they're doing supports the channel in a really nice way.
Yeah, they are vertically integrated. They actually also produce under their own brand video bars as well, too, for their conferencing solutions as well, too. Now, it's through third-party ODMs. But the point is they have insights and control from the hardware to the software to the go-to-market route. Now, but here's the thing, that they were positioning this as mask comes off. What did that mean to you? Like, Chris, what did that mean to you? What were they trying to reveal to us? I mean, all three of you have said, look, I've known them for a while. Yeah, there you go, John. What does that mean, mask come off?
So I think to me, part of it is a little bit of a coming of age, a little bit of an acceptance that actually now they have reached a size and a scale at which they are highly influential in certain markets, and able to influence even markets where they are starting to enter. So they're recognizing that they're moving from a niche, relatively small vendor where, you know, they sell very well, they grow very well, but to being a major market player. And I think that was an unveiling of them to the market, them providing a full view of, hey, here is who we are. Yeah. Here is what we do. Here is why we do. And here's why you should listen. This is how we're doing things differently. The X-Hoppers example is to me quite a good one where they're using AI and natural language as an interface instead of the screen. So they're allowing their partners and their solutions to target a set of employees who previously would not have been addressed with technology. And to bring them into part of the business workflow in a way that makes them more efficient and effective. So I do see them as increasingly influencing the overall UC discussion, influencing the direction of the market.
I mean, their footprint is impressive. They for a company that has about 1.5 million end users, and I was surprised they shared that number with us, which I appreciate them doing. They're in 145 countries. Their product is localized in 108 languages, I think they said. So, I mean, they are really built for those niche markets, those niche use cases and that point. To me, mask comes off means it's a lot to do with what's taking place in North America. Their corporate headquarters is Cincinnati, Ohio, I think, and it developed out of a partnership. Do you guys know any more about that, Blair?
No, they had one partner who was there, I believe, or maybe their first one in North America. So they're like, okay, we're setting up here. But, I mean, really, they're based in Estonia. But to that point, you know, I think they're really taking their learnings from their European DNA and what they've learned, you know, because the European market is tougher than the North American one in many cases when it comes to, you know, privacy, security, GDPR, sovereignty. So they're really taking and localization, you know, the whole idea that, you know, for each country that they're in, they have to really, you know the language, know the culture, know what people are looking for and have the right partners. So they're bringing all that experience to North America. Well, they've been in North America, but they're really expanding here now. So I want to mention one thing about, you know, the privacy, security, and sovereignty, because they underplayed that a little bit in one way, because their architecture, you know, John said they didn't talk about technology too much, but we did get into their architecture a little bit. And, you know, most of the companies that we deal with, the UCaaS and CCaaS vendors, they're all public cloud with multi-instance. Multi-tenant. But Waldex has a single tenant or a single instance architecture, which it has a lot of benefits, which is, you know, more security, more privacy, more customization. The only downside is that it often costs more. But Waldex was saying that it doesn't cost more, and they're able to offer it for the same price as you would get for a multi-tenant. So for me, that's a real win-win, because they're offering, you know, this enhanced sovereignty, security, reliability, all that for the same price. So a lot of us were like, you need to, you know, dig, you know, focus on this a bit more, because it really is a big benefit for them. And I think, you know, coming from their European roots, for them it was just natural. And for us, it's like, you need to tout this.
And one
time
of the...
to the masks coming off. I'll be real quick here, Chris, but, you know, we were the reason the mask is for us, right? They invited a small group of analysts and a small group of media to help take the masks off for us in this private setting, so we can help tell that story. And I think that's kind of a big part of why we're doing this. And also just the last point there on that, Blair, in that session, it wasn't apparent to them that this was a differentiator.
Right.
But I think
exactly.
Part of
they just took it. Yeah.
But in our discussions with them, they started to see what we were saying. And I think they came around to what we were seeing is that, no, this is a differentiator. And this is part of the mask coming off really for both sides. They have to learn, they're learning how to engage with analysts and get that feedback. We're learning more about the business and the opportunity. Sorry, Chris,
I would lean in that it's almost even a double-edged sword. It is probably their superpower as well as maybe their weakness that they weren't speaking traditional CCaaS language. They weren't speaking traditional UCaaS language. Chris, I think it was actually you had some questions about, you know, containment and other concerns and measurements of typical CCaaS environments. And although they could talk about them, they weren't using that same language. So it was a bit refreshing. It was kind of saying, I'm coming at it from a different point of view, more from that, you know, ROI problem centric idea, as opposed to maybe being an industry hardliner. But part of their coming out challenge, I think they're going to have to do is they're going to have to adjust some of that language and some of those points to some of that, what that broader market might be expecting to hear along the way for apples to apples measurements.
But they were talking outcomes, so not necessarily containment, but they definitely were talking, you know, business outcomes, which I was happy to hear. You know, it wasn't a, you know, here's, you know, 10 slides on our marketecture, but it really was about, you know, again, ROI and business outcomes. And I think Dr. Grant from Grant McAree from RoboReception, you know, he gave a great presentation, and I had some time to talk to him and some of his team about what they're doing with RoboReception. And it was really built on, you know, he saw this problem, you know, as a working practicing dentist, he saw that, you know, calls were being missed because he was busy with patients and, you know, all of that, you know, calls were being missed. It wasn't going to voicemail or, and he was losing business essentially, or not getting the business that he could have. So he saw a problem, and then working with WildX and, their channel partner, focus group, they were really able to come up with a solution, that now they're expanding tremendously. So it started, you know, with some dental practices, and now they're going to be expanding to general practitioners and even the legal field. So again, it's, you know, finding those, maybe market challenges and then finding a solution and then expanding from there. And I think WildX is in a great position to be doing that.
Okay, let's pause here for a moment. I want to bring on some insights for some special guests. Now, we weren't the only analysts that were at this event. In fact, there was a neighborhood of about 12 to, analysts or so. And I took the liberty of recording some insights from two of them. So let's go ahead and hear from Elka Popova from Falston Sullivan and Tom Wright from Cavell. Both of these analysts had some good insights they wanted to share with us as an audience.
All right. What is your impression of WildX after the meeting?
Well, I've known them for a while, but it's really different when you get to meet the team in person and you get to experience the company culture. I'm kind of impressed by how many amazing things they're doing, and at the same time staying so humble and entrepreneurial and listening to clients and partners and innovating based on feedback. Unlike many of their competitors who are kind of following the same path, looking to you know, impress everyone with their AI developments. And here we have this company that has some amazing solutions, including some powered by AI. One of the most, I would say, differentiated things about WildX is their retail solution, X-Hoppers. We actually recognized it a few years back. We gave them one of our best practices awards, but now I can tell that it's really kind of practical. It does solve real problems for retail organizations, and that's definitely one of the underserved segments or verticals, especially the frontliners, the people on the store floor. And I think the world needs to know more about WildX.
So, Tom, I want to understand, in a sense or two, what is your takeaway from this WildX?
So my takeaway, firstly, it's quite nice. There's a great American contingent here, yourself included. It's nice that WildX are introducing themselves a bit more formally to that audience. I think it's nice that they've really reaffirmed their commitment to the channel. They're European based. They typically had a resale model. I don't know, they are looking at the agent model now, but it's just nice that they're really trying to kind of empower partners. They're leaving space for partners to add value to retain margin. And I just think it's nice that they're looking to formally introduce themselves to the world.
All right, so it sounds like we were all intrigued by WildX, and I think the mask came off, and to John's point, it was actually to show us who they are, and it was insightful. But let's do this. There's still a long path. It's new to me. The three of you have known him for a while, but I would love to hear your closing thoughts. What would be a key takeaway that you had from this event and what you learned from WildX? And secondly, what would be one of those things you're going to keep an eye on in this next year based upon what you heard from WildX and what you hope to see them do, or maybe it might be a trap you want them to be cautious of? John, why don't you go first?
Sure. Thanks, Craig. Yeah, the big takeaway for me is that their story hangs together really well. That, you know, for us seeing them for the first time, I don't think they held too much back on us. I think we heard most of what we needed to hear. I might have wanted to understand a bit more about their channel programs, but they were very clear that they don't white label. You know, they know who their partners are. They know who their customers are. And as I said before, you don't see too many companies that are leading with UCaaS in this market now, but they really believe in their vision. And I think they know there's a big enough market for what they're really good at to still play very well. North America market might be a tougher nut for them to crack. That's fair. But still, you know, I didn't see any big holes in there. And the second question, Craig, was, sorry?
What are you going to look for in the future? Like, what might be a gotcha or something you just want to make sure you keep an eye on here over the next year from what you heard with WildX?
Yeah, I think the what's coming next would be innovation. You know, what's the next, like, X product going to be? We saw XBs, you know, we saw the X Hopper, you know, they'll come up with a few other. It's that X that with the last letter of their name, and now it's the first letter lowercase of their vertical offering. So I'm keen to see what they come up with next.
That's great. Blair, how about yourself? What's your key takeaway, and what's the one thing you're going to keep your eye on here in the future with them?
Yeah, John said the key thing, you know, what's the next vertical that they're going to go into? Because I think that really is a strength for them. So yeah, looking to see what the next vertical is going to be, I think is important. My key takeaway was, you know, they're a bigger player than I had thought. And they're doing a lot of really impressive things. You know, they've got, they're doing agentic AI. They, you know, they definitely talked agentic AI. They've got, you know, Wilma, which is kind of their, AI agent, I guess, or the AI assistant. So, you know, it does all the things that we've been talking about, you know, summarizing meeting, guiding retail associates, you know, transcription, you know, so doing all the things that we've been talking about. So they do have that. So I guess seeing what they're going to be doing next in terms of AI will be important. You know, is it going to be more autonomous, you know, doing some of the real agentic AI autonomous tasks that we've been talking about? I know it can do some, but I'd like to see where they're going to be going with that. And then just, you know, how are they going to be getting the channel partners in North America? Because again, you know, we mentioned they're channel first. So getting the right partners to help them really succeed here is going to be important. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, who they really work with to help them grow and expand in the North American market.
That's good. How about it, Chris? Let's bring us home. What do you think?
So I think to me, the thing that stands out most is that they build differently. So Dimitri, who's one of the brothers, the co-founder, he's very unassuming. He's a lovely, lovely gentleman, but he approaches the problems as, here is the problem that needs to be solved. How can I do that in the best ways? He's not thinking about trends particularly. He's not thinking about the way the industry is going. He's looking at, this is the core problem, and here's how I solve for that in a very effective, capable, and profitable way. So they have a highly capable product that does a lot of things very well and in slightly different ways, and that was the key takeaway for me. Then the gotcha that I think I want to watch them for is particularly where you have these solutions where there's multiple instances that you're managing, that version control and the complexity of the code base and managing those different instances can become a very major challenge for businesses. Now, to date, they've done a good job of making sure it's on a single unified platform underneath and that they've kept that up to date. But to me, that gotcha to watch for is ensuring that they keep that code base tight, that they keep those updates rolling nicely, that they ensure that they don't fall foul of having too many bespoke different things here, there, and everywhere to manage, maintain, and support.
I agree. Here's what I think is my key takeaway. There's a phrase that I like, and I think they're making a great business off of it. Shavings make a pile. These guys are finding those customers that are being overlooked by the larger vendors. And I think they have done a good job of enabling partners as kind of like this hub of kind of actually helping to service an area. So my key takeaway is that strategy, that shavings strategy is actually working really well for them. Here's the gotcha, though, I think, about as they move into North America and become more visible, I'm actually hearing other vendors like Zoom, for example, is actually reigniting some of its thoughts through its partner channel, as well as what it's thinking about in terms of what a small business is, or even solopreneurs, what they can service as well too. So what has served them really well, which is hitting those people that have fallen between the cracks of the larger vendors, might become more challenging as they look to for North America to be their expansion market. So that's the one I'm going to keep an eye on. Cool. All right. Well, I think we have some good takeaways, everyone. Overall, this was a good event. We learned a lot, ate well, walked away with some masks and some other ideas. All had jet lag, except for Chris, because he's only had to take a line and back and forth. But why don't we do this? We're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. Again, this is Decision Point, and it was presented in cooperation with BC Strategies and CMA Intelligence. I want to appreciate our guest for being part of this and helping you with some workplace insights for IT leaders that are looking at different companies, in particular here, WADEX. Everyone, take care. Thank you.